Foundation, welcome. If this is your first time here, welcome. Later on, we're going to have an opportunity to meet you guys and to be able to get to know you guys a little bit more. I just want to begin by thanking the under-shepherds here at Foundation. Just thank you guys for entrusting me to be able to open the Word of God here to everyone here. Thank you for serving alongside me, and it's been just such a blessing to be able to serve with you guys at that capacity to help oversee and help everything that goes down here at Foundation. This evening, I want to begin by asking everyone a question. Typically, our most precious memories are with our families. So by show of hands, how many of you can say that you have a fond memory that you have shared with your family? Raise your hands. Okay. About 80%, 20% needs some more memories, okay? We'll work on that, okay? Hopefully this sermon will help a little bit with that. Now, given that, that's just our family that we've been born into. Now, we also have a family here at church that we have been adopted into. This is the family of Jesus Christ that we've all been adopted into. And in the same way that we have family, we have memories with our families, we also create memories with our church families as well. So given that, by show of hands, how many of you can say that there's a fond memory with, I didn't say yet, hold on, you guys gotta slow down here. How many of you guys can say that you have a fond memory that's dear to your heart with your church family? Wow, okay, 90%, better. I like it. Okay, back row, double hands, okay. That's great. And I think that this is one of the main reasons why Spurgeon said that the church is the dearest place on earth. And that is because we all create families. Just as we create memories with our families that we were born into, we create the same memories that we have with our church family. We just celebrated an engagement right now, and that is a dear memory for us here. Congratulations, by the way. Well done. I recommend it to everyone, by the way, for those of you who are not married. But these are memories that we all build together. These are memories that shape and bind us together. These are memories that woven us together and tighten it with love and laughter and challenges and trials and triumphs as well. These are all memories that we all have that are dear to us. And just as the same way that we have the memories with our families, we all play a role in this. We are all daughters and brothers and sisters and everything as well. We all have a unique role that we play in our families, whether we're obeying our parents. I hope you all still obey your parents, by the way. My mom just rebuked me hard this morning, and it hurt, but we're still called to honor our parents. In the same way, here at church, in the church setting, we're still called to serve one another. We're called to submit to our leaders as well. And so with that being said, I do have a little fond memory that I do want to share with you guys as well. Now, if you're Hispanic here, you look forward to the day after New Year's, right? Because that is when the tamales run out. The tamales begin from December 24th all the way through January 1st, right? If you're Hispanic, is this true? Okay, good. I hope we're on the same page. Now, when I was younger, my mom and I used to wake up at 5 in the morning to go to Chinatown and get some chickens, fresh chickens and all that stuff. Then we go to East LA, Cinco Puntos. I recommended good tacos there. We'd get the masa, and then we'd go back home and we'd have breakfast tacos because we're the originators of the tacos. And so all morning long, everyone would play a crucial role. Someone would prepare the masa, someone would get the chicken going, someone would get the salsa going, someone would get the husk going, and all those things. And so there's an assembly line that we all have going on, and we all have a unique role that we're all playing into this here. And so someone is getting the masa and the corn husk, someone else is doing the chicken, then you got the salsa verde, and then you're wrapping gifts. That's why I'm so good at wrapping gifts, because when I was 2 years old, I started wrapping tamales. And so you put them in the steamer, and all day long for hours, they're steaming and steaming. And then at the very end, around 6 p.m., we enjoy the fruit of our labor. We enjoy the tamales. That is how, that is a precious and dear memory that I have till this day. I tried to get my wife one day to go at 5 a.m., and I just got the nod. Ain't happening. But we're working on that, and Lord willing, we'll be able to do that. Maybe 8 a.m., honey. We'll do that. This evening, we're going to be going through Romans 12. So if you have your Bible, you guys can turn to Romans 12. And our passage for this evening is verses 9 through 15. I'll go ahead and read those. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. This evening, we're going to be going over six components of fellowship. Six components that we can implement moving forward, and six components that we can enjoy in this Bible study together. The first component is fellowship that loves. Verse 9, let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Matthew 27, verse 37, and he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, so now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of this is love. Galatians 5, 6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. Galatians 5, 22, the first fruit of the Spirit begins with love. John 13, verse 35, by this all people would know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. 1 Thessalonians 3, 12, Paul prayed, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you. Our pastor says this, a person who shows no evidence of love has no claim in Christ or in eternal life. Paul begins here by telling us how we should love. He tells us how we should have genuine love and how we should have sincere love. 1 Peter 1:22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. You see, sincere love here can be easily translated into love without hypocrisy. What drives hypocritical love? What is the motive of this? Maybe this is something that we are just pretending that we want. Maybe this is something that we're looking for in a certain position, whether it's at work or maybe even in ministry, out of selfish desire. At the end of the day, we can just say simply that hypocritical love is simply just acting. It's putting up a front. It's being something that you're not in a consistent basis. Let's just say one day I was invited to a Boston Red Sox game. Now, everyone knows here how I feel about that. Everyone knows that my heart right now, it's burning by even just saying that. But let's just say that I went to this game. I'm not going to say who invited me, but Anya had a red Boston Red Sox jersey for me. And she had a Boston Red Sox hat for me, and I had Red Sox too. Ugh, mercy. Never do that. And even while we said, take me out to the ball game, I said, root for, I'm not going to say it. That's exactly what being a hypocritical is. That it's me putting up a front. It's me just faking the funk. It's me just saying that I am here for Boston Red Sox because I love the Boston Red Sox. Go Dodgers, by the way. And everyone said, I like it. Oh, man. Not good. All right, well, But anyways, hypocritical love is just that. Hypocritical love is just pretending. It's just putting up an act. It's living an inconsistent life. You see, no practice is more reprehensible than hypocrisy. No vice is more destructive of integrity because it is the contradiction of truth. The problem with hypocritical love nowadays is that we are all caught up in the image of truth. We're all caught up on Instagram. We're all caught up on TikTok. We're all caught up on Facebook. We're all just trying to live a fake life. In the same way, while being in private, we're a complete different person. That's exactly what that is. My question this evening to everyone is, are we being consistent in our daily lives? Are we being consistent in our actions and with our motives? Proverbs 27, verses 5 through 6, better is an open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. You see, it's all about speaking love and remaining consistent in our daily lives. And if so, we will hate evil and love what is good. Second part of verse 9, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. You see, sin destroys everything. Sin destroys everything in its path. It destroys relationships. It destroys marriages. It destroys friendships. It even can destroy your reputation here at Grace Church and even at work. First part of verse 9 just told us to let love be genuine. It just told us to have sincere love. A commentator said this, when good is the atmosphere of life, we suffocate in the paths of iniquity and the counsels of the ungodly. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 2. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on the law he meditates day and night. Turn away from evil as to accompany at hearing good. Because we have genuine love for one another, we are going to be walking alongside one another. Why? Because we want their highest joy. And because we want their highest joy, that's what's going to cause us to rejoice, and that's what's going to cause us to be joyful, because we are finding joy in things that others find joy in. Verse 10, let love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Brotherly love is having a family affection to our brothers and sisters. Our Bible study, our church, our fellowship groups, people who we sit next to, even the very people who we are sitting next to right now, these are people that God has adopted us into the family of God. This means that when we have new visitors here, we're going to stand up and we're going to shake their hand and we're going to go introduce ourselves to them. That is what loving a stranger looks like. When Tom Patton on a Sunday morning says, if this is your very first time here at Grace Church, raise your hand. Even if they're sitting in front of us, they're sitting behind us, they're sitting beside us, we, as members of Grace Church, we're going to welcome them with cheerful hearts. And we're going to share the same blessings that we share with them here on a constant basis. Because it is a privilege and it is an honor to be here at Grace Church, to be sitting here under the teaching of the faithful pastors. The moment you realize is the very moment that you realize of the closeness and encouragement and blessing and privilege that is the family of the household of God is supposed to have. And it begins with here in the basement at Foundation. Second part in verse 10, outdo one another in showing honor. This means get it, go after it, be a go-getter. To show honor and respect to one another nicely and to show appreciation about one another. This is saying who is going to be the best at encouraging one another. This is saying who is going to be the first at appreciating someone for their service here. This is saying who is going to be the best at encouraging one another. The Scots, who are dear to us, who are dear to my wife and I, have this thing at home. Who is going to outserve one another at home? Who is going to be the first to serve one another? Recently, during their anniversary, they had mentioned to me that they texted one another, and it was a race with who can text one another first and saying, happy anniversary, I love you. That is just cute, and I love it. But in the same way, that's exactly what we're called to do. We are called to outdo one another in brotherly love and brotherly affection. This is the first component of fellowship that loves. The second component is the fellowship that serves. Verse 11, do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Don't be slothful. Don't be lazy. Don't be a flojo. Don't be a floja. I tried to learn lazy in Armenian. Didn't happen. So we're still working on that. That's my third language, by the way, everyone. But be zealous. Be fervent in serving the Lord. Be a go-getter. Be active in the things of God. Take initiative to serve. Take initiative to arrive early and set up chairs. Take initiative to help put chairs away. Take initiative to help set up the sound team. Take initiative to put the sound team away. There are so many needs that keep Foundation going here. And it's about taking action and taking initiative here. Be the first to sign up for meal trains, because it is a blessing to be able to serve our beloved brothers and sisters who welcome the joy into the arms. You see, when you serve the Lord, you're worshiping the Lord. John Murray says this, if the kingdom of God is primary in the Christian life, then serving the king should be primary in the Christian's focus. We are to be diligent and active in the things of God. Ultimately, when we serve others here at Foundation, we are indeed serving the Lord with a cheerful heart. To love Jesus and to serve Jesus means that we're going to serve his people. One day we will not be able to serve in that unique way that we can right now. And that is because life is fleeting and vanishing away. That is because one day we will become older. And that is because one day we will have aches and we will have pains and we will be married and we will be children and we will be grandparents. And we're going to wish that we can serve the way that we can right now. So enjoy the days of your youth and serve Foundation, because life is fleeting and life is vanishing away. Titus 3, verse 14, and let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. The blessing behind this is to see the fruit of your labor. How many of you serve here during Shepherd's Conference? Raise your hand. Okay, 30%. Okay, we got some work to do, but okay. You know, the biggest joy for me here, how many of you, actually, let's back up a little bit. How many of you have been here on a Friday night book packing night? Okay, good. You know, the biggest joy for me is seeing a pastor open that box. As they take that tape off and they open the box up and pull that paper out that we stuff in a not so nice way, and they're going through those books. They're so excited to be able to see the books that they receive, the books that they're able to take home with them, the books that they're able to read with, and the books that they're able to help apply to their ministry. That is enjoying the fruit of your labor. That is enjoying the labor that you love, that you poured into during that night of lifting boxes, putting boxes away. That's the beautiful thing behind it, and that is the blessing behind your fruit of your labor. We've seen fellowship that loves. We've seen fellowship that serves. Number three, fellowship that perseveres. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Foundation, rejoice in hope. Rejoice in the glorious and eternal paradise that one day we will be in. Rejoice in the place of gates of gold, where everlasting would be, an unending fellowship would be, an endless worship would be. Because we have hope in heaven, we can be patient during the hard times. This is something that God uses for us to be on our knees in prayer. Like Mark said last week, hope keeps our eyes fixated on heaven. Foundation, do not lose that hope. Romans 8, verses 24 and 25, for the hope... For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we will wait for it with patience. This is a reminder to us that we must never keep our horizon bounded for what is seen and what is temporal. Romans 5, verse 2, through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. One day we will be crowned with the glory of God, and one day we will indeed hear the sweet words of Jesus saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant." One day our tears will be wiped away from Jesus, and that is the pain that one day will go away. Romans 8, the suffering of this age will not be compared to the glory that will be revealed to us. That's verse 18 for your reference. Foundation, this is why we rejoice in hope daily. This is why we have hope that causes our joy. There is no other comfort to know that the hope can help us get through our trials that are ahead of us. But you know, one thing that is worse, and one thing that is heartbreaking, and one thing that I know that may be true, is that some of us here are doing that alone. It's easy to rejoice when we receive the promotion at work. It's easy to rejoice when we celebrate engagements. It's easy to rejoice when we got accepted to our new home. But it's much harder to go through a trial alone. Attending the Bible study is great. Yes, we go to Foundation on a weekly basis. We are part of small groups. We are part of community groups. Yes, we have a discipler. You got all the checks marked off. That sounds great. But Foundation, are you welcoming prayers into your life? Are you speaking of the difficulties in your life to the others? Are you speaking of the difficulties in your life to your small group leaders, to your community group leaders, and to your brothers and sisters who you love here? You see, this is the danger of not sharing life with one another. This is why we cannot run this race as a lone ranger. This is why we need one another. John Murray says this, the measure of perseverance in the midst of tribulation is the measure of our diligence and prayer. Welcome the prayers of your people, Foundation. How sad would tribulation be without prayer? To put simply, how depressing would that be? Foundation, welcome people into your life and welcome people's prayers. God hears our prayers and God delights in our prayers. And he even blesses our prayers as well. Psalm 28, verse 2, hear the voice of my pleas for mercy. When I cry to you for help, when I lift up my hands toward your most holy sanctuary. Verse 6, blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exalts, and with my song I give thanks to him. This is fellowship that perseveres. We've seen fellowship that loves, fellowship that serves, and fellowship that perseveres. Number 4, fellowship that is hospitable. Verse 13, contribute to the needs of the saints, seek to show hospitality. You see, fellowship also involves in being generous. Fellowship also means in showing hospitality even to the strangers. Going back to love, this means that we are to love our strangers. This is having a heart for those who we do not know here at Grace Church. This is having a heart for those who we do not know here at Foundation. This is having a heart for those who we sit next to in the church pews. Those who you sit next to in Sundays in July. We have Sundays in July right around the corner. And at Grace Church, we take a break from our fellowship groups with that intention so that we can go out and meet new members that we have never crossed paths with. Enjoy those moments. Even now, people who we don't know, as we try to read their name tag, and I saw someone already looking over. I get it. It's not easy to meet people because I am an introvert. It's not easy. You see, it's a heart issue, and it's loving people who you think differently about. You know, when I arrived to Foundation around 2017, I met this dear brother named Luke Grundlin. Those of you may know Luke, some of those who do not know Luke, but if you do know Luke, you know Luke is a man of intentions. You know Luke is a godly man, and you know Luke is a man who loves his people. The second week when I came from Foundation, I remember my first week when I came, I was told to stand up, the stage was actually on that side, so you can tell who was late. Thankfully, now we know who's not late anymore, but that was back then. So second week when I came, I met Luke, and Luke saw me, and we talked. He started asking me questions of intention. He asked me what my name was. He asked me how old I was. He asked me what I did for work. You see, he invested in me. He took time. It wasn't just a 10-minute conversation that I had with Luke. And then Luke invited me out to dinner. And I said, oh, man, okay. Because Luke, at first, it was someone who I did not connect with. But he happened to work in Culver City, and I still work in Marina Del Rey. I did back then. And we just said, hey, let's just meet up. Let's just grab dinner. I'd like to hang out with you. And I said, okay, great. So instead of meeting out there, we met at the In-N-Out here on Van Nuys. And we ate and we talked and he listened to me and he asked me questions. He asked me what my needs were. He asked me, where can I get you plugged in? He asked me, how can I pray for you? And he asked me, how can I better serve you? And the following week, he followed up with everything. And the week after that, and the week after that. That is what showing hospitality is about. It's not about a 10-minute conversation with one another here. It is about being intentional with our conversations. And it is about having a heart full of desire to be able to speak with that one person. It's about having life on life with people. It is identifying the needs of others and truly aspiring to make them our own. In apostolic times, there was an urgent need to practice this. There were persecutions by which Christians were compelled to migrate from one end of the world to the other end of the world. The messengers of the gospel were traveling from place to place to fulfill the very commission that they were called to do. The world was inhospitable. Therefore, hospitality is a prime example of believers were partakers in the needs of all the saints. Foundation, we live in times where economic and social conditions are favorable. The practice of hospitality is not irrelevant. This is why we do dinner for eights here at Bible study. This is why we have pillars here at Foundation where we focus on the family and we want everyone to have that bond here. Go to dinner for eight. I know someone that just went to a dinner for eight. He asked her out, went for a dinner for two, and they got married. And that's a fact. And they just celebrated their wedding not long ago. They just got back from their honeymoon. So I recommend dinner for eights, okay? Just saying. It's good for you guys. Just go, and if you live on your own, host. It's great for everyone. This is hospitality. This is what being hospitable is, and this is what being a blessing to others is. We've seen a fellowship that loves, fellowship that serves, fellowship that perseveres, and a fellowship that is hospitable. Number five, a fellowship that is gracious. Bless those who persecute you. Verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. The obedient Christian must not only resist in hating and retaliate against those who harm them, but we are commanded to bless those who take additional steps. And we're going to take additional step in blessing them. Paul here is simply repeating the words of Jesus. Luke 6, verse 27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. Going back to starting verse 9, Jesus was referring to the very self-giving, heartfelt, sincere love that he had. Luke 6, verse 29, to the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. Verse 32, if you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. To truly bless someone who persecutes us is to treat them as if they were our own friends, as if they were our own brothers, and as if they're our own sisters. Those people who are hurting you, show them grace, and you show them unmerited favor. When God blesses us, he bestows blessing upon us. But when we bless people, we invoke God's blessing upon them. Be the light. We're called to still show honor and bless them. We are not at all or ever to curse them. Our temptations to curse are more likely to be a reaction to hostility that does us no life threats, no harm. The only thing that does is inconvenience us, and more importantly, it's an embarrassment. Don't embarrass yourself. Some studies have even indicated that high blood pressure and other anxiety diseases are caused by persistent attitudes and resentment and hostility to those who eat at people who habitually react negatively to unpleasant situations and to people. Be gracious in your conflicts, Foundation, and check your blood pressure from time to time. This is fellowship that is gracious. We've seen fellowship that loves, fellowship that perseveres, fellowship that is hospitable, and fellowship that is gracious. Our last component here, number 6, fellowship that comforts. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Foundation, this reminded me a lot during this study that we have not arrived yet. This reminded me a lot that we have a long way to go in our fellowship. This is simply just telling us that if something bad were to happen to us, our friends would cry. And if something good would happen to us, our friends would be happy for us. Foundation, I hope that this is something that you have found here in this basement. As much as I love this Bible study, my friends know I love this Bible study, my wife knows I love this Bible study, I know that some of you here have not found that. I know that through the many years that I've been here, people have not found this. It's easy for us to escape, and it's easy for us to run away, to find a new fellowship group, to find a new Bible study, and to even go to a new church. A lot of times, not most times, we simply just hide behind the scenes. Foundation, are you opening your heart to others? Are you sharing your sin to others? Are you being transparent to others? Are you asking others to open the Word of God with you? Are you welcoming prayers? This is fellowship that is called into actions. We take initiative. And that is my prayer for everyone here this evening, for you to find those sweet friends that you call family. Because this is where we are. We're a family in the household of God, called to love one another, and we're called to serve one another. My prayer is for you guys to just give a little bit more to Foundation and to give a little bit more to Grace Church. Not only just take a little bit, but just make sure you give a little bit more to our church that has done so much for us. So how do we take this? How do we apply this? How do we implement this to enjoy our group here as a family? Number one, evaluate your heart. Assess it. Go over these 6 pillars. Prayerfully consider to take action on one of them. These are all action words: love, serve, persevere, hospitable, gracious, comfort. Take action. Find a friend who you trust. Find a friend who can speak into your life and ask them, where do you fall short on? And if they pick the same one that you pick, then you got some praying to do. But number 2, look to Jesus. You see, Jesus had sincere love. He loved us so much that he gave his life up for us, and he died. He hated that very evil that we still cling to as a sinner. He died for us, and that was good. Jesus did not come to this world to serve. In fact, he washed the very feet of the person who turned his back against him within 24 hours, and he knew that. Jesus persevered, carrying a cross, going through lashes on his back. He received lashes, he received beatings, he received nails on his hands, he received nails on his feet, and he died. And he rose on the 3rd day and conquered death. Jesus was hospitable. He sat and ate with tax collectors and sinners, and he fed thousands and thousands and thousands of people. He was gracious to the adulterous woman. He showed grace to Peter after denying him three times. And while on that cross, he showed grace to that thief right next to him. And Jesus is our comforter. He comforts those who he loves. And more importantly, he prays for those who he loves. Turn to John 17. This is the very prayer that Jesus prayed for us here. Beginning at verse 20, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, and they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. Verse 24, Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me. For you have loved me before the foundation of the world. This is the very prayer that Jesus prayed for us. This is why he is our comforter. And one day we're going to spend time and forever with Jesus in heaven. Not only with him, but us together as one. One day we're going to look back to the very words of Spurgeon and saying that this is the dearest place on earth. And it begins in this fellowship here, in this Bible study, in this basement. Because we're called to have a fellowship that loves. We're called to have a fellowship that serves. We're called to have a fellowship that perseveres. We're called to have a fellowship that is hospitable. We're called to have a fellowship that is gracious. And we're called to have a fellowship that comforts. I'll end with these words here from Jerry Bridges on True Community. And he says this, as we recognize and apply the fact that we belong to each other, we would genuinely love and care for one another. We will seek to build up one another through spiritual sharing, and we will meet each other's material needs. We will enjoy one another in times of social fellowship, and we will suffer with one another in times of trial. All these many facets of fellowship are rooted in the concept that we belong to one another, and that is the family of God here. Thank you.